Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ball in his hands, in the paint, floater, short, got it back, ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win. Driving, almost lost the handle. Chalmers for the tie. Got it! 10 seconds! Unbelievable!
The clock's gonna run out. The ultimate upset has happened. A 16 has beaten a 1. UMBC knocks off Virginia.
3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
KU not fouling. Love fades, shoots.
He misses. And Kansas will win. It's a banner for Kansas basketball.
Kansas State now needs a three to tie it. Clock ticks. Noel dribbles. He's looking for someone. Masu got to put it up. And that's it.
The Owls of Florida Atlantic. They are headed to the Final Four.
Zeros on the clock. Dan Hurley is taking his UConn team to the Final Four.
They've determined it's over. For the first time in school history, San Diego State is going to the Final Four.
It's the biggest win in Hurricane Hoops history. Miami heading to the Final Four for the first time.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Monday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe and Beards heading up until 2 o'clock. The next 4 hours, we've got you a lot of stuff to get into and talk about. College basketball, NFL, Major League Baseball, all on the docket today that we will get into, and other things as they come up along the way. Start off talking some college basketball here in the first hour. We will talk with Craig Brown into the Fountains coming up at noon, starting our weekly chat with Craig Brown. We talk to him on Mondays during the MLB season, and we start that today. We will get into some of the Royals questions and roster questions and moves and what the next few days could look like. A couple of more games for the Royals before opening day on Thursday with Zach Greinke heading to the mound in a 3-game set against the Twins. And is there a bigger meaning to Josh Staalmont being sent down to the minor leagues? We'll talk with Craig Brown about that, his thoughts on the roster projections, some of the non-roster invitees that look like they will make the club. What moves can the Royals make to make room for those players on the 40-man roster? And some of the expectations, some of the predictions, expectations, thoughts that he has for this upcoming season, because it starts on Thursday. We'll get our ZOUs in on Wednesday, since Mick Schaefer will be in with us on Wednesday. So we will do our ZOUs on Wednesday and go through all of the things we think will happen with the Royals. I will no doubt be more optimistic than I should be, and I will already start budgeting for that lunch at the end of the season. It's typically what I do when it comes to the Royals. Luckily, same sort of view when it comes to the Chiefs, and don't usually have to buy lunch when it comes to the Chiefs. You should probably be more optimistic with the Chiefs, maybe less optimistic with the Royals. But we'll see where we end up with that. But yes, the Royals, a couple of games remaining in Dallas. And I believe the Royals players celebrating a Cactus League title by going to Six Flags, maybe. Not sure where they were at. You know what they were doing? They were letting everybody know that those Cactus League flags, they fly forever. You win a championship, you got a pennant, let's go celebrating. Six Flags. Is this the sixth Cactus League title for them? I don't know. They've won a bunch.
I think you get like sparkling grape juice to celebrate a Cactus League title, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
some Fresca.
Definitely some Fresca. Maybe some t-shirts that just you like duct tape on the back, you know, champs in the electrical tape or something.
That's right. First place in the bleeping Cactus League.
You know what you should? You should actually get a trophy in the shape of a cactus, because that actually would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That feels like a good idea.
With actual, like, blades coming out of the side.
Yeah, well, it's not that different from the World Series trophy. Think about that. It's the World Series trophy is dangerous.
Yes, it is.
You don't want to trip and fall with that, or the Cactus League trophy, which is even more deadly.
I've got a replica of the 15 World Series trophy.
Yeah.
And those flags are sharp.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, trying to move that thing. It's like, son of a, I cut myself again. How'd you do that? Moving the World Series trophy.
Do not carry that thing down the stairs when you do not feel confident in your footing. What a terrible way to go.
What happened? He was holding the World Series trophy and he fell. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, those flags fly forever through his torso.
Yeah,
oh, God.
They just fly right through you. Cuts like a sharp knife. It's too bad. It's too bad. It's unfortunate, really. You should probably not do that. You got to know to wear all protection when you're carry that thing in a box.
You fall in a Stanley Cup, it'll break your fall for you.
That's
exactly
right.
It's really different.
It'll just spill the beer out of it. That's all you'll do. It's
right.
Just like, oh, party foul.
As opposed to dying all for a hunk of metal.
That's right. Oh,
boom.
Well done.
Rob Manfred joke.
Rob Manfred. 913-912-4810 is the text line to join us. 913-912-4810. The text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. We will start with some college basketball. The Final Four is set. UConn taking on Miami. San Diego State taking on Florida Atlantic. I feel pretty good because I had three of the four Final Fours. I had zero of the four Final Fours. Sorry about that. I had two Elite Eight teams. Two Elite Eight teams. You know what? Batting 250. Not terrible. I could find an everyday job in Major League Baseball if I bat 250, depending on what the power might be. It's not there.
At my other job, we did the ESPN Bracket Challenge thing, and I was looking today with Josh. Out of 147 people that are in that one, none of them have a shot at winning, picking the correct champion.
Nobody has
none of them.
Either UConn or
none of them.
Miami. They don't have San Diego State or Florida Atlantic?
Nope.
Nobody in the 8-10 like VIP section has a champion still alive, and right now I'm double checking just to make sure that it's all updated successfully overnight. But
anybody have UConn still alive?
No, nobody has. Maybe in the championship game, I've not gotten to check all of that. But Clay Briscoe Bracketology. First in the 810 VIP section, number 99 in the entirety of the 810WHB.com group, because she just basically picked Florida teams.
Good for her.
Worked out great.
Oh, man.
She had Creighton. Got robbed. Or not, depending on your perspective.
Depending on your perspective. I tell you what, man. I know this about the Super Bowl. You got to make a call no matter when it happens, no matter what it is, no matter what time of the game it happens. You got to make the call. I just don't know how you can make that call at that time.
In that moment.
With Creighton and San Diego State. You can't let the referees decide the game.
They decided the game.
Imagine my surprise at the amount of people with Chiefs in their avatar that were telling me that you can't make that call at that time. It's very surprising.
Funny how people work.
It was really interesting. The amount of, like, to scroll through your timeline to see if you had the same opinion back on February, what was that, 12th?
The only person who had to complain about that call was Drew Tranquil, because he's been consistent. Did you see his old tweet from when he was a Charger still?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, he tweeted during the Super Bowl, you can't make that holding call there at that spot in the game.
Hmm.
Chiefs fans have seemed to accept him regardless, but
I didn't know that. No longer like that signing.
Yeah.
I want somebody that understands sports. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. Okay, so we have the Final Four that nobody expected. That is a one-of-a-kind, a historic Final Four for things that are not there, whether it be in Houston or somewhere else. The first Final Four with no 1, 2, or 3 seed. The first Final Four since seeding began without a McDonald's All-American on any roster. You have three of the four teams for the first time that are, first time in a while, because, you know, the first ever tournament, those all four teams made their first ever Final Four. But you have three of the four teams that are making their first ever trip to the Final Four. Three of the four teams were picked fourth or worse in their conference. before the season. San Diego State was picked first. So there you go. We should have seen this one coming.
Juggernaut.
16 out of 20 first place votes in the Mountain West for San Diego State. UConn picked fourth. No first place votes in the Big East. Miami picked fourth in the ACC. Two first place votes. So two people were like, I believe this Miami team might be for real. And Florida Atlantic picked fifth in Conference USA with zero first place votes. The same amount of first place votes as they had tournament wins heading into this NCAA tournament.
Amazing.
Turns out winning four games in one NCAA tournament doesn't seem to be that tough. Contrary to popular belief with some of the local schools, it doesn't seem to be that tough at times to win four games in one tournament. It feels like an impossibility at times. But for some, it is not. Florida Atlantic started playing basketball when I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Roughly about a year after I started playing basketball. Florida Atlantic in 88 was like, maybe we should try this basketball thing. Should we play basketball? Let's go and get a basketball. Should we get a basketball program? Let's try basketball out. Let's see what, you know, there's this whole tournament thing going on. And they've expanded to 64 teams. Why not us? I feel like we're, what, 30-some-odd years away from winning a national or having a shot at a national championship, maybe going to a Final Four. If we start it now, in the next 3 decades, we can build to a Final Four. What do we say? What do you say? I started playing basketball before Florida Atlantic started playing basketball. And they're in the Final Four, so good for them. San Diego State used to be the college that nobody in Southern California wanted to go to unless you couldn't get in anywhere else. Or you just simply wanted to go there, drink, and party. And that was it. You didn't get recruited to play basketball there. Now, as of late, it's become more and more. Kawhi Leonard, you know, is a really good player. But back in the day, it was just, you're going there to play sports, so you couldn't get in anywhere else. Well, I want to party, too. I mean, the girl-to-guy ratio is pretty good, and we're going to have some fun at San Diego State. Then you start building and building, and now they're in a freaking Final Four. And Miami's in a Final Four. After last year playing in Elite Eight and going out and signing a couple of players to a nice contract, you know, playing the free agency game, getting Nigel Pack on a 2-year deal for $800,000, and at the time, it's like, you know, good for Nigel Pack, but, you know, a Miami school that's going to be, you know, fifth, sixth, somewhere maybe middle of the, no pun intended, middle of the pack for ACC. And all they do is now go to the Final Four. And along the way, the, I don't know if it's irony or if it's just simply coincidence of them beating Houston and then Texas to go play in Houston, Texas in the Final Four for Miami. There's some fun things along the way. I thought there was going to be symmetry for K-State in beating FAU. I thought it was going to be the symmetry of K-State's 7-game losing streak in the Elite Eight was started against a coach who was a longtime assistant and was a first-year head coach in college basketball that beat them to go to a Final Four in Denny Crum at Louisville. And it was going to be broken, that streak, by a longtime assistant coach who was in his first year coaching at the college level and making a Final Four in his first year. But it wasn't. There were opportunities for K-State to get that win, and it did not happen. We can talk a lot about the Final Four, the teams, the matchups, the things like that. I do want to get into the conversation that's developing about NIL and parity and things like that. But I want to, you know, at least talk about K-State in the season that they've had and the game that took place on Saturday.
You sure they don't want us to talk about this Lamar Jackson news, the K-State fans?
Well, he did request a trade, and if he's out there in the transfer portal, why wouldn't Jerome Tang go and take a look at Lamar Jackson? What kind of NIL deal would Lamar Jackson be okay with? Can they get him a $250 million NIL deal? Can Chris Kleiman get him a How much would it be worth for Chris Kleiman to get Lamar Jackson? No, he is not available.
Not very much if you are a Ravens front office member, apparently.
That's right. He's demanding a trade to Kansas State to play football, Lamar Jackson is.
Keep the purple.
Jerome Tang has gained a lot of fans nationally in this tournament run, and how he conducts himself and what this team looked like and how fun it was to watch. Here's Jerome Tang after the Elite Eight loss, which might be the toughest round to lose in the NCAA tournament. Even the national championship game, losing that would be tough. But you're always going to have the Final Four banner and the 10-year reunion and the 20-year reunion and the 25-year reunion of everybody coming back. You just simply don't do that for Elite Eights. But here's Jerome Tang on the perspective on this entire season.
In the midst of probably one of the toughest things that, you know, experience with these guys, if we can't be grateful in these times, then all the love and joy that we talk about is fraud, and we're not frauds. And so I want to give FAU and Coach a lot of credit. They did a great job. They were tough. They were together. They made big shots. You know, you have to – they won the game. Okay, they won the game. And so this hurts right now, but I wouldn't trade these guys for 10 players. 10 others or 20 others. I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. And so very thankful for the fun and the ride that we've had this year.
There's no doubt. I mean, we've talked about it. We'll continue to talk about it. K-State's in a great spot with Jerome Tang. They found the right guy. He's been amazing to watch. And you continue to look at it and go, how did other schools not hire this guy? How did other school? What did Gene Taylor see that nobody else could see with Jerome Tang? And really, you know, our conversation that we had with him at the Big 12 Media Days when, you know, they were picked last, and talked about his great opening press conference. And he said, you know, what's funny about that is I've had athletic directors tell me that they couldn't hire me because they wouldn't win the press conference. I would love to know who those ADs are. I would love to know what AD is out there and who their coach is that they passed up on Jerome Tang because they were thinking about the introductory press conference and not, is this the right guy for the job to lead my team? Because now this guy has taken his team that was put together and gone to an Elite Eight and, you know, 3/4 points away from making a Final Four. Couple plays here or there from being in a Final Four for K-State for the first time since 1964, becoming the fourth coach since the tournament expanded to make a Final Four in his first year as a head coach. That's all he did in year one. Yet, apparently, ADs had passed up on him because they were worrying about the introduction rather than the season and the program building of what Jerome Tang can be. And the great irony is how great his introductory press conference was. And we talk about Patrick Mahomes, seems like he's robotic, like he was created in a lab of his press conferences and the things that he says and how he acts and things like that. Jerome Tang might be that for a college basketball coach, for a wounded fan base, and a program that has had success that was in a backslide, to step in and act the way that he does and say the things that he does and have the program and the basketball team playing the way that it did is just one of those, you know, perfect marriages.
It's kind of funny as you ask, hey, what were those ADs, what were they worried about exactly? About mid-sentence there, I got an email via K-State announcing that K-State's Gene Taylor named FBS Athletics Director of the Year, the NACDA Athletic Director of the Year, Gene Taylor, because, let me just take a look at K-State Sports. Yeah, it's been really good. Wow, it's been really, wow, football and basketball, huh?
I'm reading something
got
here.
Got the hire objectively right in your two biggest sports in a very short period of time? That is crazy.
It says right here, K-State Sports have been pretty good this year.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and that's what Google said. So,
and if it says it on Google, then it must be correct.
But the timing feels, if not quite clairvoyant, just very appropriate, because mm-hmm. this is a total cultural success on so many levels for K-State.
Yep. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about the game, what happened in the game, Keontae Johnson's foul trouble that took place. Comments from Marquise Noel after the game, if that leaves a sour taste in the mouths of K-State fans. We'll also hear from Greg McDermott and the explanation he may or may not have received on the final calls, that being the foul call with Nembhard, and then also the who's the ball out on at the final play and how much time's on the clock to then the game is just simply over. We'll continue to get into that. Mecole Hardman and his Jets press conference had a very weird answer to whether or not the Chiefs had interest in him. We'll talk about that as well. And again, some Major League Baseball with Craig Brown joining us at noon into thefountains.substack.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
It's a great point. I wasn't even listening to what you were saying.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Quick little Chiefs draft nugget to pass along. Tennessee Volunteer right tackle Darnell Wright is one of two things. Either visiting KCI, the new airport, just to see what it looks like, or he's on an official visit with the Chiefs. Because he tweeted out a picture of him at KCI. It may be the latter, but I'm not going to eliminate the former.
At the very least, you've got to imagine that he arrived several hours early just so he would have time to explore the new airport, right, grab some of the new bites there, just really soak in the ambiance. Also, Matt Lane points this out, quote tweeting a tweet from Mark Lane at the Combine, that Darnell Wright said he did have a formal meeting, or was going to at the time have a formal meeting with the Chiefs at the Combine. So this could be the second time the Chiefs have had a formal meeting with Darnell Wright, who would slot in at right tackle. Juwan Taylor could play left, and now all of a sudden you got some bookends. Late first rounder is kind of the approximation on Wright right now.
I've seen Pro Football Focus, they have him at number 70 on their big board.
Oh, really?
So, by the time the draft comes around, that might be different. They write about him. Wright is an W-R-I-T-E about W-R-I-G-H-T. Wright is an ascending tackle with a ton of experience against top competition in a class chock full of inexperienced tackles, where he wins power. Few tackles in college football were more awe-inspiring when they engaged in the run game. He overpowered defenders everywhere he lined up across from. What's his role? Right tackle. Wright's skill set is traditionally placed on the right side, although that's fairly antiquated thinking. It also wouldn't be a surprise if some wanted to move him inside. What he can improve on? Playing it with balance, Wright can get a little out over his toes and leave himself exposed to getting knocked off balance when he does catch defenders cleanly. He'll end up on the ground a lot more doing that in the NFL. Who amongst us doesn't get a little bit out over our toes? So, and leaving ourselves exposed.
Never be on the ground, though.
No, never.
So what we're saying is, Trey Smith plus him, you don't want to be on that side because you're going to get bruised.
It's a good... Correct.
Yep, you're going with this is just a guy who's visiting the Chiefs. I mean, the odds of him being a Chief are like 1 in probably 100.
Trey Smith and Darnell Wright will volunteer to beat your ass.
That right side of the line is going to be a 10, I see.
I need to get a tiny drum set so I can do a little rim shot.
Or just the sound of somebody being slapped. No!
I got an idea.
Or a rolled up newspaper.
Ooh.
No!
Hey, make that joke again.
You know, the right side of the Chiefs line would be a 10, I see.
It was a little spray bottle.
You just spray me to get off the coffee table?
Didn't really work still.
The cat on the coffee table? Get off the coffee table.
Shaker can, that's what it is.
All right, 913-912-4810. Kansas State loses in the Elite Eight. And let's talk about the game first. Then I want to look at the three local schools. Jerome Tang, this was a fun answer. Jerome Tang was asked, how did Florida Atlantic neutralize one Keontae Johnson?
Is that a clip that you've got here? Because I don't see it.
How did FAU neutralize Keontae Johnson?
Nope. Hang on, let me go look in our folder.
I think you should probably look in the folder.
I'll
be in the folder.
I'll see.
Might be today's date.
It could be somewhere else.
Probably label 3-27-23.
Did you have this cut
there
multiple days ago?
I don't know why it didn't show up the first time, but there it is.
I could have bet on FAU.
Hey, you want to do that throw again?
Let's try it again. Jerome Tang was asked about how did FAU, and it's a funny answer, how did FAU neutralize Keontae Johnson?
Keontae played 18 minutes, and that's why he was neutralized.
And then
What was your plan for dealing with Vlad Golden and especially offense or limiting their offensive rebounds and second chance points?
You know, rebounding has been an issue for us all year, and we tried to make it tough for him. We tried to front him. They did a great job of lobbing it over to him. And then we played behind. He did a good job of scoring some buckets. I didn't think he was the difference. I didn't think he could score 20, and so I wasn't concerned with it. I was more concerned with the other guys, but the other guys delivered too.
Golden was really good. 14 points that he had, and like they talked about, 13 rebounds. He was really good on the boards. But I did like. The answer from Jerome Tang was the first, like, 2 or 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the answer to how they neutralized Keontae Johnson. And, you know, when I say that if you get Darnell Wright on the right side of the Chiefs' offensive line, you know, he and Trey Smith would be the only offensive line on the right side that would be a 10 icy. Thank you, Jerome. I appreciate that. How did they neutralize? I think that laugh was... Yeah, foul trouble neutralized him. They didn't neutralize him because
they
when he played
the refs, that's how.
Yeah, because when they played, when he played his 18 minutes, you know, he had 9 points. Okay, points per minute. That's going to be a 20-point game.
Yep.
It's going to be 20 points. He's going to drop 20 like he's done in the tournament. He's the, you know, he's K-State's leading scorer. It's only the second time this year he hasn't got to double figures, and it's unfortunate. Those are the things that happen that you think about and remember, and it's like that will just bother you for so long. I thought it was an early tough whistle for Keontae Johnson. Yeah. I thought it was a careless fourth and fifth for Keontae Johnson. The fourth foul, like you've got three, there's 14 minutes to play in the game. There's no reason for you to try to get in late and draw a charge there.
Yep.
And it wasn't even close. Like it was an obvious blocking foul and he was sort of falling back at the same time. Like your fourth foul is way more important than some random bucket. And then the fifth foul was just, you know, a little careless on the rebound when he knows that he's playing with four. Like you can't do when he picked up his third, he played defense with his hands behind his back on the next possession to almost like sarcastically, right? Mm-hmm. Now they did hit a three on that possession, did the guy he was guarding, but there was a screen. But it was a sarcastic, okay, I can't do anything, so I'm gonna hold my hands behind my back because I'm gonna get called for a foul. But then he was careless on his fourth and fifth, and it's unfortunate. Because while he was in there, he was good. So I don't think FAU neutralized Keontae Johnson. I think that's the laugh from Jerome Tang. It's, no, he wasn't neutralized by them. It was foul trouble. It's unfortunate. It's something that Keontae Johnson has had issues with. You know, we talk about, you know, the things that came back to bite Mizzou, KU on the season, things that had bothered them. And then in the NCAA tournament game, it gets them. And for K-State, they've had troubles with rebounding the ball. And Keontae Johnson has had foul trouble. At times. And while the turnover issue has been something we've talked about K-State, they were still plus 10 in turnovers. Florida Atlantic turned the ball over 22 times in the game. K-State only 12. But they made up for it by getting so many offensive rebounds and out-rebounding K-State by 20 in the game, 25 in the game. And so, you know, there's different parts of the box score that say, if you just highlight this, there's no way that team won. But yeah, it was foul trouble that sort of neutralized it. And I thought Kansas State got careless at times in the second half when they went up, I think it was 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like at that point there were some out of control possessions that it was like, all right, let's run away with this thing instead of like, let's value the basketball. Let's value this possession. All right, we're rolling here. Let's just start. Let's take some threes. Let's knock it down. Let's take a 6 or a 7 point lead and make it 15. And go on to the Final Four. And they got careless, and FAU went on a run. And Kansas State was missing front ends, missing, you know, shots in transition, some forced shots in transition. And, you know, FAU was doing what they had to do offensively. And I think if the roles were switched, I think if K-State was playing with the mindset of being down 6, I think they probably take more care of those possessions of we need a good shot here, we got to get a good set or good action to create something for somebody so that we're not just taking a wild shot in transition just because, you know what, bleep it, you know, YOLO, we're up by 6, let's just really pour it on.
And I think so much of that you could have said about the Michigan State game, too.
You're right.
And it's where are shots falling and how hard is it to get that other team to go away? You're going back to that stretch, like, all right, K-State's up by a miraculous 6 points. It felt like a 10-possession, 6-point lead because that game was just breathless, much like the Michigan State game was. And nobody ever pulled away. And that right there felt like the window where if K-State is playing, I think it's a great call to say, if you feel like you're down six here, if you get that version of Kansas State basketball, I think we're probably talking about them going to the Final Four. It's one of the reasons that the crazy deep threes from Marquise Noel, the heaves from half court against Michigan State, were frustrating. It did end up being a problem, and I think Jerome Tang is very much in the right to say, you'll need to tell my guys to stop being who they are. And then now everyone's tightening up and everyone's going, oh, the lights are getting brighter and all of that. So I don't think it's bad coaching, and I don't even think it's terrible for Noel. But so much of the FAU game felt so similar to the win over Michigan State because the tempo, the pacing, it was frenetic. It was at times kind of sloppy, and both teams were sloppier in K-State FAU because of, you mentioned all of the turnovers.
34 of them.
It felt like every other time down the floor, Florida Atlantic was just chucking it out of bounds. Like it was a bizarre energy, but a great one. And then at the end, I think we said this with Michigan State, just kind of felt like you ran out of time. If this game would have had another 40 minutes tacked on to the end, I'm guessing it still would have been about a 3-point game.
Well, and I will say to counter my own point about if they're down six, do they play with a different sort of urgency in that particular possession? Because if they do that against Michigan State, we might not even be talking about them beating Michigan State and playing in the Elite Eight, because like you said, they were playing that way against Michigan State. They were knocking down shots. They were playing free. It's what Jerome Tang has built with this program and instilled in his players to go and do that freedom. As he said, I'd rather have Noel take a shot from the logo than turn the ball over.
Right.
Okay. So if you're going to go and drive it in and you may get fouled, but you kind of take an off balance shot in transition and it doesn't go in, well, you didn't throw it to the other team. You gave yourself a shot and, you know, another game that might have been called a foul. But sometimes the ref sees it. Sometimes the ref doesn't. Maybe it wasn't a foul. Maybe it was just a great defensive play that's there. You never know what happens in basketball. But if you start to say, whoa, 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 slow down. Mm-hmm. Let's take the air out of the basketball. We're up six. Then if you don't get shots, you go, there was, 12 minutes to play. Why is Jerome Tang taking the air out of the basketball? And you can't lean at the tape with 12 minutes to go in an Elite Eight game. So you just got to let your guys play their game. They miss shots. It's unfortunate. It happens. Make or miss game, ultimately. Let's play this clip from Tomlin and Noel. They were asked about keeping the team together when Keyontae Johnson was in and out of the game with foul trouble.
I feel like, you know, we try to, you know, stay together and, you know, just try to keep trying to get stops and, for me, trying to make the right plays and, you know, just trying to stay together, you know, and stay positive.
Marquise?
It's always tough when, you know, your leading scorer is out with foul trouble. But like Naquan said, we try to stay together. We try to get easy buckets. And, you know, I feel like in the first half, we wasn't playing our game, how we usually play our game. And I kind of think that's where they got out in transition and got some easy buckets, because we was a little flustered on the offensive end. But, you know, they got every 50-50 ball. It didn't come down to anything else, but, you know, them playing harder, them wanting it more. So you got to give a lot of credit to them.
When I heard that, I wondered what the reaction from K-State fans would be, or even maybe Jerome Tang sitting up there at the podium, too, what the reaction would be in hearing Marquise Noel say, you know, they got every 50-50 ball. They wanted it more than we did. A couple things. One, first reaction is it's an Elite Eight game. I can understand a team wanting it as much as you, but wanting it more, there should not be a player on the floor that wants it more than you do in an Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four. An NCAA tournament game, I don't care, round of 32, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, National Championship. It would be a tough pill to swallow and a sour taste to say, you know, to hear a player go, well, they just wanted it more than we did, and that's why they were getting all the 50-50 balls. First reaction. Second reaction is, I don't know that that's necessarily true, or if that's Marquise Nowell trying to be, you know, a good winner or magnanimous and complimentary of, you know what, credit them. You know, they were getting a lot of 50-50 balls. They just wanted it more than we did. It could just be cliche that a player says up there that, oh, they got those loose balls. They wanted it more, because we hear that all the time. You get loose balls, that's because you wanted it more. You're diving on the floor, get on the floor, those floor burns, you want it more. I don't know if necessarily that was the case, that it really was that Florida Atlantic just wanted it more. Because, again, K-State was up by 6 in the second half. Did they want it more then? You know, and then for the 3 minutes when, you know, Florida Atlantic went on their run, was that the part that Florida Atlantic wanted it more then? And the K-State was trailing late and they came back to make it a one-possession game. Did they want it more at that point? I think he's just commenting and, you know, the old cliche of they wanted it more. I don't know that that's necessarily true. It would bother me if I was a K-State fan to hear that, but I also will give a little grace in a 21-year-old at the podium after an NCAA tournament game answering questions.
Yeah, I think if you're a K-State fan who's bothered by that, I think you should ask yourself how you would feel if he went, they just had some lucky shots go down. You know, they played some great ball. They had a few lucky ones land, because no one liked that when Tom Izzo said it. And alternatively, do you want him to say, yeah, we just don't have a 7-footer who's going to just control the middle of the lane, or they had more guys step up, or they had better coaching, or whatever. Like, I just don't think there's anywhere you can really put that is not going to open you up to some level of criticism. And I think the most gracious thing you can say is, man, they wanted it just as bad as we did, and they played really good ball. But
and we lost by 3.
It's genuinely a one bucket game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you don't like or I guess one other thing you could say that I think would be legitimately reasonable is go, yeah, I mean, you know, they were good, but we got bleeped by the refs because Keontae played 18 minutes. So, and then now it's sour grapes. So it's just that's just a losing press conference is a hard thing to navigate.
Yeah, and you know, Marquise Nowell is when after the Michigan State game, and he was talking about his 19 assists, he said, you know, hey, my teammates were making shots.
Yeah.
All right. And then he's asked about, you know, you guys with Keontae Johnson out of the game. Hey, Florida Atlantic, yep. You know, they played too. All right, you give them credit for what they did, but I don't believe for a second that K-State wasn't diving on the floor or wasn't coming up with loose balls because they were just like, you know, we'll get it going eventually. They can have this rebound. I mean, it is unfortunate that they weren't grabbing some of those defensive boards, but that has been a problem all year. It's not like they're one of the best. It's not like if Princeton were giving up 15 offensive rebounds and Princeton's like number 3 in defensive rebounding, and then they were just like, they got another offensive rebound, I guess. Like, that wasn't the case. It's something that had been an issue for them all year, and it came back to bite them in an NCAA tournament game. That's typically what happens in NCAA tournament games. What's your weakness, and was it exposed in this game? Were you able to overcome your weakness in a particular game? And if you were, maybe you got by that whole survive in advance. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't, it's how did Arizona lose to Princeton when they would have faced off against a small Missouri team, a Creighton team that, you know, certainly could have beat them, that beat Princeton. They've got a big man as well. And then you didn't have to face off against Alabama. And if you're in the Final Four, you're going up against Florida Atlantic, but you lost to Princeton in a game where some of your issues came back to bite you in the last 5 minutes, and you couldn't overcome it and survive in advance. Purdue couldn't overcome the fact that they didn't have enough pieces around Zach Edey, that when you had a defense that was played the way that Fairleigh Dickinson played, that was daring the other parts to score and to make plays, just didn't happen in that particular game. It came back to bite them. Missouri couldn't grab a defensive board. And on their, defensive sets, often they would give up open shots. And sometimes they get too much into iso ball. All of those things happen in one game. You lost by 15 or double digits to a 15 seed. It happens. And you know, KU has had some issues along. I mean, here's the thing with, like, even that game. Like, they haven't had an issue with DeJuan Harris in a 10-second violation.
No.
I mean, that hasn't been an issue. And they really haven't had issues with free throws. And yet, that sort of gets them in that game. Foul trouble, you know, got them in that game. That's one of the things that we did talk about with a shorter bench. If you have some guys that are in foul trouble and have to be in and out of a game, It doesn't in one specific game over the course of a tournament, it may not be that big of a deal if you only have six guys or seven guys, but if you do get into some severe foul trouble, it can be a problem, and it can come back to bite you. And so some of those weaknesses were exposed in certain games, and then Arkansas went and got just flattened by probably the national champion in UConn. But this tournament really is so screwy that if it's San Diego State or FAU, we know it'll be one of them, versus Miami, there's not a part of me that will go, I'm shocked.
How could you be?
How did that happen? Amazing. Unbelievable. There's nothing about this tournament the rest of the way that would be unbelievable. That includes if UConn wins by 20 the next on Saturday and Monday, because they won by 15 or more in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. First team since 96 Kentucky. I think that team was called the Untouchables. That team was stacked. Like 10 NBA players on that team. It's the last team to do what UConn just did in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. And that Elite Eight was against a 3 seed, not against some random 15 seed or something. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Championship ticket sales games.
Championship tickles.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, talk some college basketball. We'll get into the local schools on the other side of the break and the season that was. Now that all three are done, none in the Final Four. So it'll just be Lebo and me in Houston.
I didn't think of a worse way to spend a week.
Yeah, I mean, I could think of worse ways to spend a week. I could think of better ways.
No, I can't.
But it's just a couple of days. Don't worry.
A few days with Lebo on the road? That sounds like a great time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds like it.
Looking forward to it. We'll be down there, though, in Houston Thursday and Friday, bringing you all the sights and sounds from Radio Row. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue getting into some college basketball. KU, K-State, Mizzou, the season that was it a success for all of them?